You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, I spoke to National MP for Botany, Christopher Luxon, as part of our weekly catch-up. We discussed the government's recent proposal to centralise New Zealand's healthcare system by getting rid of the 20 district health boards around the country. We also spoke about the government's recent $30 million deal to purchase Tapu land off Fletcher Buildings, which the Auditor General has just described as unlawful. I started by asking Luxon his thoughts on the government's health shakeup.
Well, look, I think the challenge, it's really up to the government to determine how they're going to go about doing it. But really, the real worry is that the restructure will see our regions and I guess our smaller communities lose their voice and their autonomy around what they think their healthcare needs actually are. And I think, you know, this is a government that has quite a big answer to every problem, it seems, is to sort of centralise and give more power to everything in Wellington. And I just worry that sort of Wellington bureaucrats making decisions for local people about who gets their operations could be problematical. And, you know, the reality is a massive restructure like this will cost millions of dollars to do, hundreds of millions of dollars likely to do. And you sort of have to ask the question, is the millions of dollars better spent on the bureaucracy or is it actually should be spent on the frontline services and the cancer drugs and the surgeries and the nurses and the things that we actually need to deliver better healthcare services?
Could you not say that by centralising it and because currently the system where you've got 20 district health boards, would it not get rid of some of the bureaucracy when you don't have lots of smaller bits?
Yeah, and from my business experience, there's always pros and cons of decentralising things versus centralising, and they each come with, you know, sets of good and bad points about it. You know, if you look at the super city in Auckland, you know, probably a mixed reaction. Some things have led to more bureaucracy and not as, you know, and the slowing down of responsiveness to the needs of local communities. You know, it just becomes a big, you know, monolithic structure that sort of sits in Auckland and sometimes doesn't feel like it actually represents the people locally well enough. Equally, you know, there's pros and of sort of having things joined up. I think there is, you know, things you could be looking at sort of, you know, fundamentally how you might look at some aspects of the DHBs where you have them work together, you know, and consolidate some of the functions of the work of the DHBs. So things like asset management and things like that, where you could have several DHBs working together to have a consolidated view on back office functions that sort of makes sense for them to collaborate on so they can prove, you know, have less bureaucracy, less management time, more money and resources freed up to be deployed with people in the community actually who desperately need healthcare. So there are pros and cons to both, but I just think when you're doing a big national health service sort of rollout, that's a big, big thing. And, you know, to be honest, in the UK, you know, not always having lived there, you know, pretty unresponsive system in some ways. And I'm not sure that's what we will be used to here in New Zealand or will appreciate.
So other than possibly centralising assets or something like that, what structural changes would you make to improve New Zealand's healthcare system?
Well, look, I think there is some, I think there's a lot of wastage in that system. I think there's an awful lot of management and bureaucracy. I think there's a lot of interference that means that people are wasting time on some of those. There's just a lot of bureaucracy that's getting in the way of actually frontline services and money flowing to the frontline to be able to...
Where is that bureaucracy? Is that within the district health boards?
Within the district health boards, yep. And you're now going to create now two new agencies, if I remember correctly, you know, here in Wellington, which will take a heap of people, a lot of money, a lot of time to set up, a lot of resources, a lot of focus will go into the internal politics of setting up a new organisation rather than the focus going out to where it needs to be, which is with patients that need help.
There was one other important aspect to their announcement I wanted to ask you about, which was the creation of a Māori Health Authority. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't think we support, you know, we don't support a creation of a, you know, separate Māori Health Authority that's got commissioning powers because I think it does run the risk of creating a fragmented sort of two-tiered system that is really fundamentally based on, you know, race, you know, fundamentally. And I think, you know, one of the great principles of health is the treatment you receive shouldn't be really depend upon your ethnicity. It really has to depend upon your need. And so a local district health board can determine where its greatest healthcare needs are. That may be, you know, vulnerable populations like Māori Pacifica. It might be, you know, a particular issue like a diabetes explosion that's about to probably hit us in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. at massive scale and actually prioritise its resources around that. The problem in health is that you never ever have enough money to do everything that you want to do, and so it always and will never will because there will always be a need. But the question is how you get the best return on your investment is by dealing with people on the basis of need, not on the basis of ethnicity.
I think you could make the argument, however, that sure, it shouldn't be on ethnicity, it should be on need, but Maori may have that need more than other ethnicities. For example, life expectancy of Maori is more than 5 years lower than
non-Maori.
So how do you deal with the issues Maori face in ways other than the authority?
Within each DHB, you can prioritise your resources where you think that greatest need is. And you're right. I mean, Māori Pacifica show up in our healthcare statistics in a disproportionate way and with greater need and greater focus. And so that's where you would put emphasis in the delivery of those services. There's no dispute about that. In my own area of counties, Manukau, Māori Pacifica needs are a really big focus area, and they probably get a disproportionate share of the spend and the population and the health spend. And that's because the need is greatest there. You're going to have to make trade-offs, but each of those DHBs closest to those communities can make those.
And I know you don't have a lot of time, but there was one other issue I quickly wanted to touch on with you. The government's recent deal about Uhimato, which Judith Collins has come out against. Could you talk to me quickly about that deal?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's probably three things to it. I mean, the first is really, the National Party's been opposed to the deal because we don't think it was appropriate the involvement of the Prime Minister to get involved in the middle of that. We fundamentally believe that a deal was done between the Crown and between iwi. It was a treaty payment. It was set full and final settlement. And we do think, this kind of arrangement ends up creating precedents as we're starting to see in Shelley Bay here in Wellington and in potentially other places across New Zealand. The second thing is that the dispute was sitting between an element of the iwi, a hapu, and Fletcher Building. And fundamentally, the Prime Minister chose to get involved in the middle of that. She got involved in it and sat on it for a very long period of time. And the reality is then they had to find a solution rather than let the parties negotiate an outcome and resolve an outcome. But they went off to try and find then $30 million again of taxpayers' money over and above what had already been given for treaty settlement. And they tried initially to get it from Kiwi Build and from the housing budget, and then ended up mucking that up. And actually, because there's 480 houses here that are supposed to have been built on this land, and after 3 years and the Prime Minister's long intervention, nothing has got built. And we've got 20,000 Kiwis desperate to get into houses, and we need houses built. And we've had now $30 million spent on this and no houses being built at all. So they tried to take money from a Kiwi Build budget. Treasury said they couldn't do it. And the Auditor General then has highlighted that they've done an unlawful appropriation as a result in how they've secured the $30 million. So, it's just a classic case of it wasn't something where government needed to get involved with at all.
Are you glad the land was returned, though?
No, I think it should have been left for Fletcher Building and Hapu to work it out for themselves. You don't need government intervening and interfering in everything. And particularly when we'd had a full and final treaty settlement deal to then go off, and when an element within an iwi arguing with other elements within the iwi about a deal that was done, that's something for Fletcher and...
How could they have worked that out, though? Like, ultimately, it did require a lot of money to Fletcher Building, didn't it?
Well, there's either negotiation, conversation, there's court action, there's a whole bunch of remedies institutions we have in this country to manage it.
Is there a specific remedy you can give an example of, other than the government getting involved?
Well, my only thing is there could have been a range of outcomes, and that's hypothetical, but that would have been best left by the parties that were involved in that transaction that held those property rights, which was Fletcher, and negotiating or dealing with Hapu and then following it through institutions that we have outside of government. But now you've got a situation where there'll be a number of similar claims across the country where we have already, taxpayers have already, there were genuine grievances here. We want to make this right. We do full and final treaty settlements. And now we create, I think, a bit of a precedent where things can be unpicked again and even more money applied. At the end of the day, this was a deal where there were supposed to be 480 houses being built and nothing has got done, fundamentally. So that's I appreciate people have other views on it, and there will be a range of opinions on it, but I just think, you know, $30 million of taxpayers' money got spent on something that didn't need to happen because the Prime Minister stepped in, sat on it for a hang of a long time, created uncertainty, didn't deliver anything. No houses were built over that time, obviously, and it should have been left to the parties to resolve amongst themselves.
That was National MP Christopher Luxon on the government's plan to nationalise healthcare and their deal with Fletcher Buildings over land at Ahimato.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.